Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. And today I'm joined with a very special guest, one of our full-time MBA students, Ross McEwen. How are you, Ross?
Great. Glad to be with you, Jamie. Thanks for having me on. Thank you also to Carson, who's on the laptop here.
She is. She is our producer. And Carson does not get enough love for all the
hard work
that she does. So lots of love to Carson this morning for being with us and for always being so great member of the team. So, Ross, you're in the MBA program. You're clearly not from here. No. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am from Scotland, just outside of Glasgow. I've been in the US for almost 8 years now. So I've had a blast here. I've been Clemson MBA for about a year and a half. I'm excited to finish strong, graduate in May.
So May is going to be here before we know it. So tell us, I guess, at the beginning, what brought you to Clemson? How did you choose the Clemson MBA program?
So, I graduated Erskine College, which is about an hour from here, in May 2017. So, I thought, what am I going to do with my next year? For each level of education you get as an international student, I get a year to work. So, I wanted to take that year to do something growth filled with my life. So I went to move to Washington, D.C., and I participated in a leadership development internship with the National Student Leadership Forum. And during that year, I was actually hoping to graduate this one-year program and find a job and start my working life, but realized that the best way for me to be most equipped for a life in the U.S. was to go back to graduate school. So during my spring semester of that year with the National Student Leadership Forum, I started to make some calls in the world of golf, and I knew the Clemson Golf Program, so I reached out to them first, and one thing led to another, and I ended up being offered a graduate assistantship. So I it was a perfect opportunity for me to reach out to the business school, which is something I'm very passionate about, and drove down here for my interview and was blessed to be accepted into this program.
So you talk about golf. So tell me kind of the history of you and golf and what golf has really meant to you.
So golf has been the single most influential tool in my life. It was really all that I cared about in high school. It was all that I'd done. I would go to school, finish, and go straight to the golf course every single day of my life. So transitioning from that, where it was completely my identity, that's all I cared about. If I played bad, my mood was bad. If I played good, my mood was great. And that's not the healthiest place to be. Like anything, you could substitute golf with anything there in life. But when I started to get better and better at golf, I started to get some scholarship opportunities in the U.S. and that really excited me. I think I have one sister and she got a lot of the stay-at-home jeans, and I got all of the travel ants in my pants jeans. So I was always been buzzing around the place. So it didn't faze me. I was excited by that. So golf offered me the opportunity to move to the US. And as my college journey progressed, golf, the use of golf in my life started to be redefined. And instead of it being my complete identity, I really started to look at it as a tool for building relationships. And what else can you do in life that you spend 4 or 5 hours sitting next to someone on a golf cart with peers, with younger guys who I'm trying to mentor, or with older guys with CXOs who I'm trying to get to know, like, there's not a lot that I could do in life that there's 4 or 5 hours where I can spend with the CEO of a company, and they love golf.
So the importance of golf in business is huge. I mean, that's something that we talk about a little bit. We've always joked about doing a business of golf course because, you know, I know, look, I own golf clubs. Would you want to take me golfing?
I think you told me they're
no.
pink. Are they pink?
They're purple.
Or are they purple?
They're purple. I have purple golf shoes. I have purple golf clubs. My husband knew what he was doing when we went golf shopping, right?
I love it.
Just get me something purple and I'm good to go. But, you know, it's something that we've talked about just as you said, being on a golf course, quote unquote, stuck with somebody for hours and hours and hours, it gives you that opportunity to really meet people, build relationships, which essentially creates opportunities for professional growth, jobs, etc. So I know that not only playing, I know that every time I talk to you, you're running from Augusta to somewhere else caddying for people. Mm-hmm. All these fabulous golf courses, meeting so many great people. So talk to me about what caddying's meant for you too, because that does essentially also give you that same in with these people.
Exactly. And caddying's been a blessing for me ever since high school, from caddying at Loch Lomond Golf Club at home to in DC for some time when I had some free time, and then just for friends and young guys who have gotten to know and are breaking into the professional realms right now. That's the way golf is meant to be played. One player, one caddy, a team of two, and I think we've lost that. We've lost that a bit, but it's offered me, like I said, and it's the same as playing golf with somebody. If I'm caddying for 3 days with the CFO of a major company, and that's 14 or 15 hours that I have, well, right. How much is that time worth? I mean, that when that guy is in his office grinding, you'd probably be lucky to get half an hour with him over
right.
a coffee. So. That has, and along with my time in D.C., being exposed to so many congressmen, senators, business leaders, I've been blessed to become accustomed to treating these guys like normal human beings. Like, they're not aliens. They're not, you know, they're not these unreachable
right.
stars. They're just human beings. They have troubles of their own. They're not invincible. So to bring that back down to real life and to act normal around them and ask them normal questions, mm-hmm. like do you have any kids? What do you enjoy doing when you're not in the office? Like, I think they really appreciate that. They really appreciate that just being normal. I mean,
right.
and golf and caddying has really offered me a chance to practice that and to exercise that and to treat them like normal human beings.
I was going to say, I'm sure they appreciate that time, because a lot of times, like you said, at work, they're so busy or just in the grind. And sometimes people are afraid to have those regular conversations, and they're regular
yeah.
people too. So I love this. And I think that the overarching subject that we're going to talk about today is really relationships and the impact that relationships can have on your life. And I'm just going to I'm going to quote you, because I'm going to read from your LinkedIn profile, but you say, "As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. It's a goal of mine to lift up and develop people, both as individuals and in team settings." So tell me more about that.
That's a good word.
That's a good word. I know. Smart guy wrote that.
Well, I think one of the main principles that I live my life by now is that the quality of my life is directly correlated to the quality of my relationships. And the more I can develop and cultivate those relationships, not only with peers and meaningful peer relationships, but with younger guys who I love and who I want to get to know, and who maybe I can help in their struggles. And then with a third tier would be with older mentors. It's so essential to meet older people, whether it's in the world of business, in the world of faith, in the world of golf, and every different scenario, I love to have those three categories of people in my life. I mean, peers, younger guys and older guys, mentors.
And as an extrovert, you that and that charges
I'm not
you
an
up.
Extrovert.
Not at all. Not you. But that charges you up, right? So this mm-hmm. whole relationship piece is something that is important to you, and I've watched you make this a priority. I've watched you, you know, meet people at 7:30 in the morning every week for coffee so that you can recharge and learn and grow. And also, you're so good to always ask sweet questions about what you can do for them. And I think that that's a huge piece, too, going back to, you know, the conversations that you have with some of these higher level people that you're caddying for, is just having these regular conversations. But the fact that you're always so giving in those conversations as well. Tell us more about how that drives you and really charges you up.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Jamie and Carson. We eat 21 meals a week. We eat 14 meals a week if we skip breakfast every day, but that's...
That's not good for you.
That's 14, hopefully 21 opportunities that I have to sit with somebody. I mean, I need to eat anyway. So why not just choose a friend? Choose 21 different friends each week. No, it's not that much, but choose different people to share those times with, because it's nothing out of my day, really. You know, I have to eat lunch.
And you always walk away with a new nugget of something.
Exactly. And I always can end that meeting with, like you said, Jamie, what can I do for you? How can I bless you? How can I serve you? And when you say that to someone in a position of power, they're like, oh my goodness, I thought you were here to take something from me.
Well, just in general, I mean, just...
That fires me up.
It's amazing. I remember the first time you said that to me, and I was like, wait, I don't know. Nobody's ever...
Well, think of something, Jamie. I want to help you.
So, yes, definitely. It's definitely appreciated. But I love that, and I love a story that I know about you, that you have a goal of having somebody in every major city... Having a good relationship, having a friend, we'll say, in every major city. And you're almost there. So you are the person that the last time, and I might get the story a little bit wrong, the last time you flew back from Scotland, you flew to Denver and you drove back across the country with a friend. And you didn't stay in a hotel once because you had people in every city along the way. And they were friends. It wasn't just acquaintances. And listen, I've lived in the U.S. my whole life, and I couldn't do that. So you clearly have a gift of developing relationships with people. So tell us a little bit about that story. And maybe that correlates, too, to that year that you spent in D.C., because I know that you did mm-hmm. a lot of that building those relationships during that year as well.
Exactly. And in D.C., we were really trained and encouraged to assume a friendship with somebody instead of thinking that, oh, it's going to take me 5 meetings and some letters and a lot of intentional time to get to the level of friendship that would merit me staying in your home from Denver to here without having to stay in a hotel. But that has been one of the greatest lessons in my life, that if I can put off a persona and tell somebody, hey, I want you to assume friendship with me. We don't have to work at this. I know you're a great person and I want to be friends with you. And instead of just doing all this back end, you know, slow to become friends rubbish, I love to just assume friendship with everybody I meet and offer them my friendship. And that has really been transformational. No, I mean, Denver, it was Denver to South Carolina in August here. But the previous August, we went L.A. to D.C., and it was the same thing. I love it. It's my favorite thing
of
in the world.
Of course you did.
My love language is a relational road trip, for sure, where you just stay with friends each stop. And each stop, ask them, what can you do for them? How can you serve them? You clean their dishes after dinner, they blow their minds. You write them a letter as you leave, and it'll really make an impact.
See, and that, I think, is what's so impactful about you. And I hope to our listeners out there that you're taking notes here, because I think that that's such a huge thing of how you can love and serve others and how you can make people feel appreciated or feel your friendship, especially in this digital age. And I wonder how you've received that too, because so many conversations are not in person, but I know that you've made that extra effort to really develop these personal relationships. Has it been hard for you?
I think it does take a lot of effort and intentional thought, but there are some tools that I've been able to utilize that have really helped me in this. So my mind is working so fast relationally, there's always names popping into my mind, and I've just learned to just act upon those urges. So if I get a thought, hey, text Jamie, hey, reach out to Jamie for a coffee, or write to Bob, or I'll just, if I don't do that, if I don't act and do something within the first 10 seconds there, or at least write it down in a note on my phone to do it, or in my calendar, I probably never do it. So I just learned to just act. If I'm driving, I'll just think to myself, all right, who will I call next? And I drive a lot, so that's one of the most phenomenal times to build and maintain relationships, is just to call folks.
But you're not texting and driving.
No, that's illegal, Jamie.
That's right. That's right.
Illegal.
I'm just making sure you're safe.
Hands free, phone and only. and then just to randomly write people letters. I'll do that sometimes. It's a phenomenal way to build and maintain relationships, an intentional note with maybe a quote or an encouragement or a scripture verse.
And you asked me that recently. You said, who's the last person you wrote a note to? And mine was a cop out. So I was like, well, I sent a nice email to somebody. but I'm going to be better. And I think, you know, 1 year somebody told me that they had a goal. And this is a big goal, to write a handwritten note. And not just, I'm good about writing thank you notes, but just like a note, like an I appreciate you note, or I was thinking of you note, to do one a day for a year. Somebody different every day. You could do it.
That's doable.
You could do it. So let's do that. Do you want that to be our New Year's resolution?
Oh, I can do it. I'll do it.
And Carson?
We can't just write each other every day.
No, it has to be different people. But I think that's, I love, when I get a handwritten note, I have a drawer, the middle drawer in my desk is overflowing now with notes, because I will not throw them away. I love them. Mm-hmm. It means so much to me. And it's funny to think they mean so much to you, but you don't do it.
And you don't even need to have a reason to do it.
None.
You can just do it. You can be encouraged by something you read and just write it on a piece of paper and say, I was thinking of you when I read this. Be encouraged.
I love it. We're doing it.
We love you.
We're doing it. Well, let's circle back to your MBA experience. So you've been juggling being a full-time MBA student while being a graduate assistant for the golf team, while caddying for the rich and famous. And how have you been able to juggle this program with all of that? Because you have a lot going on.
That is a good question. I don't know if I've mastered that yet. I think it helps me that being around people constantly fires me up. I don't know if I could do that 7 days straight every week if I was not fired up by people. But I think I've been able to manage it because I've found my capacity. I've found the level that I can operate at relationally, and I can notice if things are getting too much, and if I'm burning out, I'll just go take a half a day to myself. I'll go hiking myself. I'll go walk myself. But for the most part, I'm just around people all the time. I have two roommates. I love them. I much rather working in teams and presenting in classes than sitting and listening to a PowerPoint presentation. That doesn't fire me up. And then in caddying, it's just around people all the time. So I think, to answer your question, it's just about finding your capacity.
Yeah, so you found your people at the in the MBA program too.
Yeah, find your capacity and operate at it. And if you notice yourself, you're operating much faster than what you're capable of maintaining, then just dial it down a bit. It's just all about being attuned to the spirit of your day.
So balancing for you is being around more people, not necessarily unplugging. Or do you need time to recharge and unplug? Or is that Is that going for a run? Is that, like you said, going for a hike? What does that look like for you?
I think the best way for me to do this is to start my day a bit slower, read some scripture and write down some prayers, and then be myself for the first half hour there. Mm-hmm. And then most days of the week, I'll have a 7 o'clock coffee with somebody that I love. And then I'll get going after that. So that really helps me start my day right. I feel rested if I wake up early, sit still for half an hour, drink a coffee, and then meet somebody.
Yeah.
And then go to class or then go to Clemson Golf.
So you're about to graduate.
Yeah.
What's the plan? What do you want to do when you graduate the program? What's the goal?
So my goal is to find a job beginning after graduation in May with a global company who I could sell for or do business development or relationship management. Just like we've talked about, people fire me up. I need to be around people, loving and serving, meeting needs. And to do that with a large company will offer me, if I perform and if I impress, will offer me the opportunity to stay in the US mm-hmm. beyond this 1 year of work that I'm granted. So that is my main goal, to find a job that could really help me stay in the US.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
In some sort of sales position, I'd say people position.
Right. It's got to be people facing.
It has to be people. I need people.
Is there any specific area that you're looking at, or are you looking to go anywhere in the U.S.?
I have relationships in most cities, so that
yes,
does not.
Yes, you do.
And I like making friends, so I'm not even. I wouldn't be scared to move to somewhere where I didn't know anybody, because it's more than likely that I have a friend of a friend there. So that I can assume a friendship with them. So, but I do have a lot of friends in Greenville, a lot of friends in Dallas, a lot of friends in DC, San Francisco. So I'm looking at these cities first and foremost. But if an opportunity arises elsewhere, I would jump on it, consider it, and really, really walk down that path.
Well, so those employers out there that are listening, let's give them something. So why you, right? Why are you the guy? What makes you special? What sets you apart?
Why me? Why me? I think I can offer a lot of life and a lot of energy and a lot of positivity and guidance to a company and their clients and their employees. I think that as I pursue people, I think people will learn to pursue people. And yeah. And I think the more that we love and serve one another within our company, within our corporation, that's attractive. Mm-hmm. That's really attractive.
Well, and I think for you too, in the world of sales or business development, people want to do business with people that they like, people that they can build a relationship with. And it doesn't always have to be kind of hardcore in your face sales. And I think that's the ticket for you, is that you're so gifted in developing relationships that what client wouldn't want to work with you, in my humble opinion. Mm.
Thanks, Jamie. That means
you're
a lot.
So what are you most proud of? You've lived all over the place. You've traveled all over the place. You've accomplished a lot so far. What are you most proud of in your life so far?
Mm. Good question. I think the times that I have been most proud and most filled with joy have been, well, I'll give you two examples. The first one came last summer when I convinced my friend Scott to come and live with me for 3 months. I had a vision for the summer. We were just going to start our day together in Starbucks, and we were going to caddy together in the mornings. We were going to play some golf in the afternoons, and we were living at a house that was related to the internship that I participated in DC. It was a smaller, condensed summer version of this leadership development program that I went through. So I convinced Scott to come and live with me 3 months. I think it was the most impactful summer of my life, and maybe Scott would say the same. We grew as friends, we grew as leaders, and all it took was a humble pursuit of Scott as a brother, and he said yes, and we had a phenomenal summer together. So that's one of the proudest accomplishments of my life, to convince Scott to come and do that. And I'd say along a similar lines, another friend, Jake, I convinced to participate in the same internship in DC. And he saw how impactful it was in my life, so he jumped on that opportunity as well. And he just finished a couple months ago.
So, and I'm hearing two things from those stories. I'm hearing trust, the fact that they trusted you and that your experience and opinion meant so much to them. And the fact that it was time for you, going back to how you say it, love and serve these people. So is that really what drives you, and that really is what makes you proud, is being able to do something that directly impacts the life of somebody else?
Right. And it's actually kind of a selfish thing, because I am most pleased. I am most filled with joy. I am most satisfied when I am helping other people. So, I mean, it's almost as much for myself as it is for these other folks. I mean, but this is the vision for life. This is the most effective vision for life. If people are loving and serving one another, not only do I feel infinitely better about myself, and that's not why I'm doing it, but ultimately that's a result of loving and serving other people. So
Ross, if that is what selfish is, let us all be as selfish as you. You make me so proud. So what best advice would you have for an incoming student? I'm going to ask you this in two parts. First, for an incoming student in general, and then I'm going to add the caveat of then what best advice would you have for an incoming international student? Because there are definitely extra challenges that come with that international piece, as you know.
My first piece of advice for a new student here at Clemson MBA would be, when you walk through that door, you get to know Mr. Brady at the front desk there, because you're going to see him every morning that you walk in here. And then I'd come up on the lift and I'd go to the fifth floor and I'd say hi to Miss LaDonna, because she is hilarious. And then maybe I'd skip the sixth floor, because that's where all the classes are. I'd go to the eighth floor and I'd get to know everybody up here and build friendships with them, because that's where you're going to learn. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to find opportunities, job opportunities. I mean, friendship opportunities, really. And then go to class. Now, class is very important, and I love all my classes, but I more so love the people that I meet in my classes and the professors that I can build relationships with and go to breakfast with. I mean, the classes aren't that big.
Yeah.
You can get to know your teacher here.
That's true.
It's phenomenal.
That's true. And that's definitely a goal for us, is that you're never a number. We want to know everybody personally. So that's a huge deal for me. So with the international piece, what advice would you have for an international student coming in? Or would it be the same exact advice? I guess on the job search, it might be a little bit different.
Yes. Then. As far as the job, I mean, I'd say the same thing for international students. Just, you have to get to know the people around you. And as far as the job search goes, that is much more challenging. I look at all my peers from the US here, and I look at them and think, well, they can take any job with any company that they want. There's no parameters on that.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge for me, but it's not a daunting challenge. It's doable, it's manageable. And the only way that I'm overcoming this challenge is to leverage the friends that I have made, to leverage the network that I've built. So for an international student, I think it's almost more important to build and maintain friendships. Right. And sometimes networking can be seen as a shallow pursuit. I don't really use the word networking a whole bunch, but I think if you go to meet with somebody, maybe you call it networking, but maybe you just say, look, I'm going to meet with this person who's maybe in business, who's maybe a CEO or CFO of a company here in Greenville, and I'm gonna become friends with that person. Yeah. And I'm like we talked about previously, I'm gonna ask them what I can do to help them. And you know, this doesn't come back with an answer almost every time, but you can really show that you care, and if there is something that you can do to help, then do it, you know.
Right.
And that's how I am seeing fruit in my pursuit of people and in my pursuit of next steps. And I'm able to help my peers out with their job searches as well. Like, Ross, I know you lived in DC for a year.
Right.
Do you know anyone in the world of healthcare in DC? Yes, I do. Here's three people that I want you to talk to. True story.
Thank you for doing that. See, you're a good friend. But that's interesting that you say that about networking, because we use that term a lot in the MBA program, just because it's the professional word for building relationships. But I love how you make it about everybody's a friend. I love that. I love how you use that interchangeably with something that we would just call relationship building or networking.
Right.
So I might steal that from you if you're okay with that. So let's, before we get into the fun speed round stuff, I have fun questions for you. Let's close with, we know people inspire you, but what else? I mean, what else gets you really going and really, really fired up?
People do fire me up, but I think the easy answer would just be golf. I love playing golf. I've had a fun relationship with golf my entire life. It's been a roller coaster of ups and downs. Golf is my longest love.
Yeah.
It's my longest love. So like I said, in high school, it's all I cared about. It was my identity. It was unhealthy. Moved here, and maybe I'd say it was still unhealthy, but when I learned how to use this game to love and serve people, my relationship with the game of golf really flourished, and that's what I do love. I do love that. I could go and practice my putting or hit golf balls. I could do that myself, and I'd be very satisfied, but when you can add people to the things that you already love and the things that you do, I think it adds meaning. And if I do need time to myself, I'll go hit balls myself. But for the most part, I'm taking a guy along. Routine it up.
All right. So when do you want to go hit balls?
With those purple golf balls anytime, Jamie. Carson,
listen,
you're invited too.
Listen, you might need to wear a helmet because I am not good. I am not good at all. I mean, they'll go backwards, sideways. So have patience, have mercy and grace with me.
We will. We're good at that.
All right. So let's get into the fun. Let's get into the speed round questions.
Nervous.
Because I could talk to you forever.
Oh, no.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
A cat who acts like a dog.
Really?
Yep, for sure.
Do you have a cat that acts like a dog?
I did in college. His name was Erwin.
Where is Erwin?
He ran off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's probably dead. I'm sorry, Jamie.
God.
You've really opened a can of worms.
I know.
Here.
Okay. We'll have to do a part two. Poor Ross. I'm sorry.
Poor Erwin.
Poor Erwin.
Poor Erwin, yeah.
Okay. Okay, you can answer this one either as two-part or either-or. Favorite band or best concert you've ever been to?
Favorite band. That's a toughie. I've not been to a whole bunch of concerts in my life, but I went in Tampa to a Hillsong worship concert, I tell you, it was an impactful experience. It was in an amphitheater, and there was the sun was setting, and there was a big storm rolling in from one side, flashing light, and sunset on the other side. That was an impactful time.
Okay.
It was Hillsong Worship. That was the most memorable concert.
Nice. Very cool.
I don't go to a lot of concerts, though. Maybe I need to take up that as a hobby.
I think so.
And go to more concerts.
What's the best place you've traveled?
The best place I've traveled to. I had a blast in Tokyo, but 3 weeks was about as much as I could handle. Tokyo was an adventure.
What was the best part of Tokyo?
Well, I was only meant to be there for 2 weeks, but I wasn't allowed back on the plane to the US because of some visa troubles, so I had a bonus week. And I just had to figure it out. Had to make friends and go on adventures. I got lost so many times on that Tokyo metro system. But I survived.
You survived, I survived. I'm sure you made some friends.
I survived. And I was meant to land in Seattle on the flight that I wasn't allowed on. And I was meant to play golf at a really fancy golf course there called Chambers Bay. And I couldn't play. So I phoned my friend in Seattle who had just gotten engaged to be married. And I said, Ian, I'd love for you to take my tee time at Chambers Bay. And that's a no-brainer because it's the best course, one of the best courses on the West Coast. And he played there and he got a hole-in-one on a hole that had a prize of a free week in Mexico. So he paid for his honeymoon. I'll take a week extra in Tokyo so that one of my great friends can go on a free honeymoon.
That's a great story.
I said, Ian, I need you to consider not going with your new wife. That's my trip.
Right?
That's my trip.
I feel like it's yours.
It's because
too.
Of me.
I feel like you should have gone too. That's a great story.
I don't know where we started there, but that's where we finished Seattle and Chambers Bay.
Nice. So best pizza in Greenville.
I love some Vic's.
Okay.
Right across the road from us here.
Yeah. So for incoming students, yep. There's good pizza right outside of our doorstep.
Vic's. And I'd go in there and I'd say hi to our friend Brant.
Okay.
He is one of the owners there.
Nice.
Lovely guy. Get to know him.
So.
Family from Ireland, actually.
Oh, nice.
I was chatting with them just a couple of weeks ago.
Did you take your family over to meet them? I know your family.
No,
was
I didn't.
Weeks ago.
I didn't. But they met about 5 million other people.
I know.
They were overwhelmed.
we absolutely loved that you brought your family up to meet us. So we felt very much a part of your family that day.
Well, they felt loved. They felt loved.
So you do a lot of 7 a.m. coffees. What's the best spot?
Love some methodical. Really love methodical. I like, where else? Spill the beans. I'll go down there, spill the beans. You'd be surprised. It's empty at 7 to 8 in the morning. Yeah. You got that whole place yourself. So we'll do some guys groups down there sometimes. Where else? I have some friends who live off of Augusta. So we'll just do Panera or Starbucks right there on Augusta Road. And then if you're in Clemson, obviously the only spot to go is All In Coffee Shop. And you need to get a cinnamon roll. And it will blow your mind. Cinnamon roll from All In Coffee Shop, Clemson.
Okay.
Big shout out.
I love it. Give them a plug. Best brewery in Greenville.
Best brewery. I just recently went to, I don't know if it's a brewery, maybe it's just a bar, but El Thrifty.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's a cool spot. I went for the first place
like 2 weeks ago. Very cool. And they're doing a big development over there. They're, what's it called? Unity Park or something like that?
Yeah, Unity Park. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
It's going to be amazing.
So they're doing a lot of, I think Methodical are going over there.
Yeah.
Some bakeries, some bars. So look out for that. There's a lot happening in Greenville.
There's a lot happening in Greenville. It's really exciting. It's a great time to be here. Orange or purple?
Orange. I own so much orange.
You do.
Goodness.
You do own a lot of orange. I think you need to add some purple to your wardrobe.
I do.
All right, here's the big question. Now, this is hard, I feel like, because you're from Scotland, and that's like the birthplace of golf, right?
Mm.
What's the best golf course that you've ever... Am I putting you in a hard spot?
No,
you can even do like from home and from here if you want to do that.
I think, okay. My best golf experience.
Okay.
I'm not just talking the course. I'm talking the service, the whole clubhouse, everything. A golf club in Arkansas, right outside of Little Rock. It's called Aloshan Club. And it was the fanciest place I've ever been. We rolled up to the front gate, we got in, and there was 8 other people who played the course that day. And there's like 5 clubhouse staff people on the front steps waiting to greet us. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I've not paid to be here. I don't really deserve to be here. But we were invited there, and it was an unbelievable experience. We were coming down the 18th hole, and our caddy said, so what's you guys' favorite milkshake flavors? And I panicked. I was like, vanilla. And then my friend was like, oh, I love chocolate. So he'd done some magical something, and he got these guys to come onto the green with a tray, with a vanilla milkshake and a strawberry milkshake. And we're putting out, and they're just standing there with the milkshakes. Then this other guy has another tray with essential oil infused cold towels, and it's 100 degrees outside. And we're wiping our faces up thinking, this is not even planet Earth. Best golf experience, Aloshan Club, Arkansas.
Look, you had me at milkshakes.
I mean, and the course is immaculate as well. But I remember the milkshakes and the essential oil towels much more than I do the golf course.
Oh my gosh. And then this is kind of a random side story, but you actually had a run-in in Scotland with some Clemson people.
Yeah.
So tell that story quickly, because I thought that was really funny that you are home and you're walking down in the golf course and you see Tiger Paws.
It was crazy. And one of the guys has become a good friend. So this is in August. I was in St. Andrews, had a meeting with a high school friend who works at the Old Course Hotel. And I'm walking there down the 18th hole at St. Andrews, and I see these 4 golf bags walking up 18. 4 Clemson golf bags. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm going to wait on them to finish their round, and I'm going to say hi to them, introduce myself. And so they get done, and I wait on them walking off, and I say hi to them. And one of the guys, co-founder, CEO of Ubi, mm-hmm. Mike Pareo. So we've been able to touch base again here in Greenville. And what's even crazier is like they lived right here.
Yeah.
They're all right here. So I've gotten lunch with Mike a couple times, and we've stayed in touch. So that's been so fun for me. I was a wee bit late for my meeting with my high school friend, but it was phenomenal to see. And the power of that Clemson Tiger Paw all over the world is so powerful. It's such a big family that I've come to know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're a part of it.
Well, thanks, Jamie.
So, favorite book?
Favorite book. I love the book Essentialism. Mm. Greg McKeown. Not that you don't spell it like McKeown, but it's a slightly different spelling. But that's probably been one of the most impactful reads of my life over the last few years. It's about the disciplined pursuit of less, mm-hmm. and finding your one priority and doing that. And it talks a lot about the way that our Western society has redefined priority, uh-huh. to say priorities. Priority is one thing that's more important than everything else. You cannot have 5 priorities. You can have your priority and then second to the priority. Like in the office, it's like the regional manager and assistant to the regional manager. Sorry, that just popped into my mind there.
No, I love the Office reference, and it just reminds me again that I need to watch it.
Oh, I just finished it yesterday.
Oh, good. So you're behind.
For the first time. Yeah. I'm going to restart it. My favorite show, for sure.
No, that's definitely, that's a great book. What's your favorite? Speaking of The Office, next question. What's your favorite show to binge watch?
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
That was almost scripted.
It's like you set that up.
Oh, wow. I love New Girl as well. New Girl and The Office, that's my two go-tos.
Okay.
I can sit there and watch a bunch of episodes.
All right. Favorite quote or inspirational message?
Favorite quote or inspiration? I mean, I guess we've touched on some of that. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It really defines what is most important in life, and that is other people. And the quality of your life is directly correlated to the quality of those relationships. So the more you can
Absolutely.
Cultivate those relationships, the higher quality life you will lead, and yeah. the more people you will impact.
Absolutely, and it's all about that. Well, Ross, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
It's been so much fun to catch up with you and hear your story. And really, we are so excited to see what's next for you. So you'll definitely we'll have to do a part two once
I'll
you land
down.
The job
yes.
and once we'll I start
it.
Golfing with you. and you'll have to be kind. Be kind about
yes,
that.
Yes, thank you. Thank
but
you
definitely,
for having me on.
We wish you so much love and success. And thank you for I'm so thankful that you're a student here. I'm so thankful that you're a part of the MBA program, and I've loved watching you grow and just do amazing things. So I'm excited to see what's next.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Jamie, and thank you, Carson. I've enjoyed sitting in this room with you both for the last hour. Can't think of a better way to spend my afternoon.
That's right. That's right. Well, everybody out there, have a magical day, and we'll catch you next time.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.